Pawtucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. Text line, you want to be in touch with the show, 251-343-0106. That is how you get in touch with me, your show host. We'll have some time maybe later on in the hour if you want to get in and respond to whatever it is that is on your mind. But joining us now, very pleased to have my next guest, kind of impromptu, but we'll take it. She is our junior U.S. Senator. Katie Britt joins us here in the State House in the cloakroom. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I am doing well, Jeff. Appreciate you letting me come on. It's good to be in person, and obviously, as always, really glad to be home.
Well, what brings you to the Alabama State House? You got a position on gambling or something?
No,
out?
I am going to let all the members of the legislature do their job, what they were elected to do, and represent the people here in Montgomery. I'm going to give them a brief Washington update, which shouldn't be very long, seeing that we are not doing anything of substance these days. We are just doing nominees that Chuck Schumer puts forward, some liberal Biden nominees, but not doing our job when it comes to appropriations and other things. So answer any questions they have on that, and look forward to seeing them and saying hello.
That's been your gripe in this early going, from what I can tell, that Schumer there's a holding, a perpetual holding pattern in the U.S. Senate.
Correct. And so if you look back, and just for your listeners, I'm a member of the Senate Appropriations Committee. That means that we have 12 bills that we need to pass in order to properly fund the government. I am a big believer that in order to be fiscally responsible, we need to actually do our job. And we went through that process. It's been over 200 days, or actually almost 200 days, since we finished marking up all 12 bills individually, amending them in committee. It has been 105 days since Chuck Schumer even put an appropriations bill on the floor. And let me explain that. We were supposed to have finished all 12 of these bills, Jeff, by September 30th. So we are 130 something days into the fiscal year to fund America, to fund our military, to fund our border security agents, to fund our Coast Guard, to fund all of these important things that are fundamental to our country. And we have yet to send one bill to the president's desk, and I'm over it. I am absolutely over it.
You've been in the Senate game for a while. I mean, you worked for Senator Shelby. It just seems to be putting this off. It's used by leadership in the Senate as leverage, right?
Bingo.
It just force a bunch of stuff
Bingo.
And overwhelm the system, right?
Bingo. So what you have is you kind of sort of have two schools of thought right now. You have clearly the Schumer school of thought, which is that if we don't do our job, then he will package all of this together in an omnibus type bill. I have said I will not vote for an omnibus. And then you have those that believe that a CR is the way to go. When you look at a CR, that's a continuing resolution. It continues funding at the level that it is. It actually, this year, because of the FRA, would have a 1% cut. The issue I have with not doing our job is that means that you have, and putting in something in place like a continuous resolution, is you have unelected, faceless, nameless bureaucrats that are deciding how our tax dollars are spent. And when they do that, they clearly are putting the Biden agenda at work with your tax dollars. And so I think it's my job to actually go and to have input into this and to make sure that it is as fiscally responsible as possible. When you are $34 trillion in debt, which we are, $34+ trillion in debt, it is hard for me when I'm looking at this supplemental that just passed the Senate. How in the world do you supplement something, Jeff, that you haven't even done yet? So as we just mentioned, we have 12 appropriations bills to fund the government that should have been done by September 30th. And so we should do our job. We should take a look and make sure that that our military has what it needs, that our Border Patrol agents have what they need. And then a supplemental would do just that. You would look at, where are the holes? Where can we not meet our obligations? And you would supplement something. But that's not what we're doing here. We're essentially, the way that Chuck Schumer has it, we are icing a cake that hasn't been baked. And I think it's fiscally irresponsible. And I think it is certainly part of his agenda, so he can have the most control and make sure as many liberal policies as possible are put into place.
Well, let's talk about the supplemental a little bit if we can. And it's, you know, where it gets off track, trying to get some kind of funding for Ukraine and dealing with the border at the same time. For a lot of Republicans, a lot of your colleagues, it's just a non-starter. Like, mm-hmm. Let's not do that. But what do you think about this process? Is just till Democrats are out of power, these are the kind of things you got to deal with.
Yeah, you know, it shows you how important it is that we control the Senate, which is why this 24 election is so critical for the future of our nation. And I would love to be able to talk to you a little bit about that. But like, for instance, on this supplemental, when it came to actually doing some things that would help secure the border, Democrats just weren't interested. I mean, ultimately, they were not willing to give up the keys to the kingdom, that the tools that they are using to facilitate this mass migration. If you go back to when Biden took office, I mean, he has either enacted or removed about 94 executive orders when it comes to the border. I mean, this crisis lays directly at his feet. He could start undoing those things that he did if he wanted to show us he was serious about securing the border, but you haven't seen him do any of that. In fact, for the last 3 years, he wouldn't even say that this was a crisis. And so when we're looking at it, like one of the tools, for instance, where they didn't end, you know, it didn't end catch and release. And I think one of the things, too, that I think is the clearest example of Democrats not being serious about securing our border is parole. So if you go back to both Obama and Trump, so I did say Obama and Trump, they used the tool of parole to the tune of about 5,600 people a year. Okay. That's about the average. If you look at what Biden did, he this past year was 3,000 short of paroling 1 million people into our country. I mean, do you see that vast difference? 5,600 a year and then 3,000 short of 1 million? Biden could stop this if he wants to. Democrats weren't willing to have those types of serious conversations when it came to that. And he wants to continue to use the magnets he has to produce mass migration and unfortunately not secure the border. And unfortunately, that's not good for the American people.
I mean, what it looks like to me is Alejandro Mayorkas, who I've known for years in Washington, D.C. circles, as someone who's just, like, ideologically opposed to borders, you know?
Right,
like,
right.
It'd be like making Ron Paul the Fed chairman or something.
Right. That's a great, yes.
So it's insane, but it's as if they said, okay, day one, everything Donald Trump did, studio opposite.
100 Jeff, bingo. That's exactly what they did. I mean, there were things that have been negotiated and put in place, like remain in Mexico, for starters. You know, he immediately halted border wall construction. They have actually used a lot of the funding that was put in place for border wall for, quote, environmental mitigation, dwindling the number that we have left in that pot that should be directly spent on that significantly. I mean, if you look at interior enforcement, for example, so we have about 6.5 million people, give or take, on the non-detained docket in our country. About 6.3, 6.5, and that's ICE. So those are people that, you know, that our ICE officers are tracking. We have 1.3 million of them that have been given their due process and have their final orders of removal, meaning it is time for them to be sent back home. We know when there are planes of people going back home, it serves as a deterrence for people to come here. But yet when you saw Biden actually request this money in the supplemental back in September, you know, it wasn't for increased removals and increased ICE officers and increased detention beds to create those deterrents and obviously process what we need to. It was for more money for blue cities, what we call SSP, shelter and services programs, to give them more money to continue to facilitate this migration. And if you do that, they're going to come.
Right.
And you've got to put these policies back in place. President Trump had it figured out. I mean, he knew what we needed to do to secure our border and to send that message. And unfortunately, Joe Biden just isn't interested in that.
Well, the other thing Trump did that this president, it doesn't seem like he's doing, it was putting pressure on these Central American countries, on Mexico, to play a role in trying to keep some of this from coming in. There's no...
None of that. There's absolutely no conversation right. going on like that. I mean, think about this. I mean, you look at the, quote, border czar and Vice President Kamala Harris. I mean, she's only been to the border once in her whole time as being the czar, and she certainly isn't sitting down with AMLO there in Mexico and saying, hey, what can we do to make this work? We've got to make sure that we do. I mean, you have to do that. You have to sit down and broker a deal with these other nations, and he hasn't even started to do that. So it's just not only, it's just disingenuous, Jeff. I mean, now that this has become a political problem for him, he's going to pretend that he wants a secure border, but he's not taking any of the steps to actually do it. And I think it's critically important we call him on that, because there are things he could start doing today that would both begin to secure our border, that would support our CBP officers and agents, our ICE officers, and that would send really a message of deterrence to those who are looking to come here illegally. But he's not interested in doing that because he doesn't want to ruffle the feathers of the left. And he can't have it both ways. Right. He just can't have it both ways. And I think this will be a deciding issue in the election coming up in 24. And I hope America says, look, a nation without borders is not a nation at all.
Joined by United States Senator Katie Britt here on the program. Just a few more minutes. You mentioned the election. I know Biden's polling not really well, especially head-to-head against Trump.
Yeah.
And then whatever happens at the top of that ticket, I think is going to have profound impacts on your body and who's going to control that. How do you feel about 2024?
Yeah, I actually feel really good about 24. I think America has seen Joe Biden in action, or lack thereof, and they don't like what they see. They know that we have a less secure border. We see the world is actually on fire. You look at what's happening in the Middle East. You look at what's happening in Europe, all the way across there. And then you look at what's happening here at home, whether it's crime in the streets, whether it's fentanyl overdoses, whether our fentanyl poisonings, or you know, whether it's just your dollar not going as far, people have seen what Joe Biden has to offer and they don't want it. And they know what President Trump did in his time in office. And they know that that's where our country needs. Those are the policies that need to be in place without a doubt. I also would say that we are really poised to take over the Senate, and I believe that we will. So if you look at the map, and it's important because nominations matter, obviously cabinet secretaries matter. When President Trump is in office, we want to make sure that we're able to confirm those. And then we also want to make sure that we can, these good ideas, these good policies, that we have a majority so we can begin to work to put those in place as well. But we, in this map, there are three states that are actually red states that have a Democratic senator, and they're up for re-election. That's West Virginia, Ohio, and Montana. West Virginia, I feel really good about that. Obviously, with the governor, Jim Justice, getting into that race, Joe Manchin has decided that he will not be running. So I think we are poised to lock that up. That would give us an even 50-50. Now we need to flip at least one. Ohio, there are three great candidates that are running there. Any of them, I believe, can have the discipline and the work ethic to be able to beat Sherrod Brown. And then you look at Montana, and this is a really big win. So that's John Tester. And you have, who I am supportive of in that one is Tim Sheehy. Obviously, we saw President Trump come out and endorse him on Friday. I think that's a big win, because when you look at that and you look at which candidate in the primary can actually beat John Tester in the general, it is Tim. And you know his story, Navy right. SEAL, and served our nation honorably. So I think that one's a good one. And then also one thing that Steve Daines is doing, and he's running the NRSC, which is he's the top Republican looking to help us take back a Republican majority, is he's also playing in states, blue states, where he believes we have a chance to win. So Pennsylvania is one of those with Dave McCormick in that race. And you kind of sort of look across the map. Nevada has a couple of good candidates. New Mexico just recruited Pete Domenici, Senator Domenici, Chi's daughter to run in that race. So we're really widening the map. And I think that there's several of those states, Arizona, amongst many others, that I think we actually have an opportunity of taking those as well.
So it could be a big Republican year. Last question, you can pun or whatever, but what do you make of all this vice presidential talk?
Oh, God. Look, I have been in the Senate now for just over a year. I hope that you have seen me trying to keep my head down and work hard. I've been trying to build relationships on both sides of the aisle to be able to make sure that Alabama has a seat at the table. There are a lot of incredible things to do for our state and our nation, and I certainly hope that I continue to Alabamians continue to give me the honor of being able to represent them.
Just remember us at 106.5 when you're there in the executive branch. Senator Katie Britt, thanks for coming by this morning.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.